Captain Walter A. Gunn, Jr., senior advisor to the Arvin Ranger Battalion here at Quezon. My wife, family, and three kids live back at 2436 Broadmoor, Columbus, Georgia, where I just departed from the Ranger Department here, there, to join with the Ranger Battalion here.
Sir, what unit are you attached to yourself?
Myself, I am attached to the 1st Ranger Group back in Da Nang, which this 37th Ranger Battalion is a part of.
Captain, the other day, members of this Ranger Battalion, this Arvin Ranger Battalion, went on patrol around the perimeter here at Quezon. What did they find?
Well, the other morning, about 700 hours, on the 13th of February, the six-man patrol departed the right perimeter of our area here. And in order to, they was trying to find a recoilless rifle that had been firing on us for the previous day. Approximately 1,000 hours, we heard a great deal of firing. There was a lot of fog, and we couldn't see what was going on at the time. But just then, it was around 10:30 hours, the fog lifted, and we saw our patrol. And they had caught a two-man recoilless rifle team. They killed the two-man recoilless rifle team and then captured the 82 recoilless rifle. We brought it back here. Right at first, they was all hollering since they had no combo, and they was telling us it was a 57 recoilless, but when we got it back here, we found out it was a Russian-built 82 millimeter. And they were real proud of themselves because, as far as I know, well, I know this much, this is the first one captured around Quezon. But it reported by the captain here in charge of this battalion said this was the first one captured in Vietnam.
This is the first one, sir, I've ever heard of, and it looks like, to me, it appears to be in excellent condition. How about, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, looking at the sight and the shape of the weapon, and still has its OD coloring and not too many markings where it's been scarred up, I would say it hadn't been in the country too long. And may have come down with this, the 304th Division that's where it is reported in this area.
Captain, Quezon is constantly being hit by what we assume to be mortar or recoilless. Is this one of the type weapons they're hitting us with now?
This is one of the great number of those same type of weapons they are really hitting this perimeter with. For the past two or three nights, to our left flank, we've been hearing reports from, we think it's three more of the same type weapons. This morning we was hit with the 82 again, which we knew it was an 82 because we could see through our binoculars. I would say it's a great deal number of these weapons right here around this entire caisson.
What would be the range of this weapon, sir?
Well, estimating, I really don't really know the actual range since I don't have the manual for it, but I would say around 4,000 meters it's capable of firing.
And is there a weapon that we have, the American forces have, the Marines or the Army have, that you might compare this with?
I would compare this weapon right here with our 106 recoilless rifle.
How many men? Were there men manning it?
There were two men manning this weapon at the time. It was trying to evacuate it out of the area. So the two men, that they were the ones they killed. But at the same time, it was three men that escaped from the same area carrying a 60 millimeter mortar. Could have been one of those men was part of the crew here. I would say it's probably a three-man crew.
Captain, you being with the Ranger Battalion here have one end of the runway, one area of responsibility, and it is the outermost perimeter. What's your thoughts about this right here, this area?
Well, this we are controlling the east end of the runway here at Quezon, and the perimeter here, we're, to me, is one of the critical perimeter on the entire caisson. To our right of it, the airstrip here is a fine armor approach, and to the direct east is a good approach for men on foot.
Have you had any probes down here, sir?
Negative. We have not had an actual probe up to, against the wire. We have caught them, our LPs and OPs have caught them out, say, about 500 meters out, and well, like one night we caught something about the size of a company. But the LPs saw it first, and they engaged it, and the artillery took it under fire, and I think we broke it up before an actual probe that was would have been here.
Have you been with the Arvin Rangers since you've been in Vietnam? How long have you been here, by the way, sir?
I have been in country now for about 2 months, and I've been with the Arvin Rangers every bit of that, all but about 5 days.
What kind of fighting men are they, sir?
Well, the Arvin Rangers are supposed to be one of the most elite troops there are, beside the airborne, and what a little I've been around them, I would say that they're undoubtedly the best.
Captain Gunn, thank you very much for talking with us.
All right, I thank you very much.
Do you have any more you want
to add? Can I get
One thing I'd like, sir, that's Captain, what's your first name?
Walter.
Walter Gunn, G-U-N-N, right? And what's your street address again?
2436 Broadmoor.
2436 Broadmoor,
right.
B-R-O-A-D-M-O-R-E.
Broadmoor Drive, Columbus, Georgia.
Broadmoor Drive, Columbus, Georgia. End of the interview.
Here is another interview with Captain Walter Gunn from the Arvin Advisor, Senior Advisor to the Arvin Ranger Battalion. In February, sometime between the 15th and 20th of February, and I don't have this date, the Arvin lines were probed again, were probed for the first time by what was estimated at the time to be 100 men, a reinforced company, and then later estimated that it was probably a battalion-sized probe because the Arvins had monitored the NVA radio net, and they heard 4 to 5 radios talking, so they thought probably it was a battalion that actually probed the lines. Here again is an interview with Captain Walter Gunn, the Senior Army Advisor to the Arvin Ranger Battalion, concerning that probe.
Captain Gunn, your lines here with the Arvin Rangers has just been hit again. What happened here?
Well, this morning, I forget exactly what time, it must have been around 11:15 hours, it was 1300 hours when it was, that we heard this report of a 57 recoilless, and as we looked to see where the recoilless rifle was being fired from, we see this approximately 100 men assault line moving towards our perimeter. We started immediately engaging it, and they got within 50 meters of our wire, and then the assault halted, and they started to withdraw.
Sir, that's very unusual for them to try a daytime assault like this. Why do you think they did that?
This I really don't know, unless it was trying to check our perimeter out. We've been expecting any night, really, them to check our side since they have the entire caisson area, but all but this side. And we looked around this morning, and I guess this is just strictly a check to see if they can breach this area or not.
How heavy was the incoming artillery fire, rocket fire, mortars that you had?
Well, it got pretty heavy volume there, right there for a while, and it looked like it was maybe 70, 75 rounds we took in about 5 minutes there.
Sir, there's a plane coming in here at Quezon now. They normally fire. It sounds like they're out there firing again with 50 caliber. Do they do that often?
Well, that's true. About every aircraft that comes in, right off to the finger here on this hillside we set and the opposite 10-15, they get a right smart of automatic weapons fire on every aircraft that tries to come in.
Do you think that's still part of the group that hit here this morning out there?
Affirmative, because they just moved back, and the day before yesterday we run into a sent a patrol out and run into a heavy automatic fire right there on the finger from here about 600 meters, so they're holding up right along there and down to the valley floor.
Did you think the return counter battery fire and the return fire from the Arvins did them any damage?
Well, I do believe it did, because the artillery and the heavy volume of fire we're putting out, I would estimate maybe 45 to 50 there men get wounded or killed in the battle this morning.
Did they hurt any of the Arvins here?
We had 6 wounded, very light, for that amount of volume of fire we was getting in here.
Were they able to compromise the perimeter position, weaken it in any way?
Negative. They got the nearest point they came to was 50 meters, and they did not reach our wire.
Thank you very much, Captain Gunn. Okay. What's your rank and your first name and last name?
Sergeant Ronnie D. White Knight.
Will you spell your last name?
W-H-I-T-E-N-I-G-H-T.
And what's your street address in the States?
121 Briarcliff Road, Berwick, Pennsylvania.
We spell that Briarcliff Road in the city.
B-R-I-A-R-C-L-I-F-F. And the name of the town is Berwick, B-E-R-W-I-C-K.
And are you married?
No, I'm not.
Not married. Is that your mother and father live there?
Right. My father lives there.
And what's his first name?
Roger.
What's your last name again?
White Knight.
And you're assigned to Charlie Battery, 1st Battalion, 13th Marines?
Right.
Okay. Sergeant White Knight, what happened here at Keystone on the 21st?
Oh, about 0500 Sunday morning, we started getting incoming rockets and mortars, and about the third round hit the ammo dump, hit the powder, and started to burn that blew the rest of the dump.
What's your position with the battery here?
I'm supply sergeant.
And, well, when the ammo dump started burning, was the battery returning counter-fire, counter-mortar, or rocket fire at the time?
Yes, they were.
What did you do while they were returning the fire and you had all the incoming rounds?
Just running around, helping out as much as I could.
In what way, Sergeant White Knight?
Well, first off, they had an enemy mortar landing Gun 1's parapet wall. I went over there and took that out and threw it in another hole.
What, you say an enemy mortar, didn't it explode? Was it a dud?
No, it was a dud.
And you removed this? Did you have any engineers with you, or just
no,
by yourself?
Just by myself.
What did you do, just pick it up and carry it out?
Just picked it up, carried it out, and threw it in another hole.
Was it hot or anything?
Yes, it was. It was hot.
What else happened?
Well, when the ammo dump was gone, it blew up the gas grenades and stuff over there, so people were out on the guns firing, and they all didn't have gas masks, so I had to go around and get gas masks and hand them out.
Well, in the meantime, were rounds still coming in?
Yes, they were. All enemy rounds and also our own rounds from the ammo dump blowing.
And the battery was still firing all this time?
Right.
Whatever made you, did you just pull out that one round? Was that the only dud you removed?
No, we went around the rest of the parapets and kept throwing duds in the hole behind FDC.
Approximately how many duds did you remove at night?
Oh, God. Somewhere around 75 to 100.
You said we. Who else are you referring to?
Lieutenant Everhart, which is our XO.
Sergeant White Knight, moving around during an incoming artillery and rockets and mortar is a fantastic thing within itself, but to move around and to remove duds, enemy duds that didn't go off, is something completely unheard of, or unheard of by me, at least here in Vietnam. Whatever possessed you to do this? Whatever made you do it?
I don't know. We only moved a couple enemy rounds. Most of them were our own duds from the ammo dump blown, but they're just as dangerous as the enemy ones. And we just went out there and did it. Had to get them out of there, or else they wouldn't be able to fire all the time.
What did you think? Did you have any thoughts going through your head at this time?
None really, except just get them out there so that they can fire back at them.
How about when the gas was going off and you were rounding up gas masks for the men who were firing the guns? Did you have one yourself?
No, I didn't.
Your eyes still look a little red, and this is almost a week and a half later. Did it hurt you?
No, not really. It was pretty bad, but then again, everybody goes through the gas chamber.
Did you have, that was on the 21st. What happened on the 23rd then?
On the 23rd, we had gotten more incoming, and people were unloading ammo trucks at the parapets. And when the incoming started to get, they got on the guns and left the ammo trucks sit right there at the pit. So if they got hit, everything would have been gone. So I got in the trucks and drove them away.
I really don't know what to say. I'm almost speechless. Within 2 days, you committed two very, very fine acts of heroism. I wonder myself what makes a man do this.
I don't really know.
I understand you've been recommended for some awards, too. Is that right?
Yes, I have. Silver Star and a Bronze Star.
Thinking back on that right now, Sergeant White Knight, this is the 16th of February. It's almost 3 weeks later. Well, what do you think now about that action and your part in it, what you did?
Well, I'm glad I did it, but yet I think I was crazy.
What do you mean you're glad you did it? In what way?
Well, you never can tell what might have happened if something hadn't been done.
Undoubtedly, you saved some lives, but now you think you're a little bit crazy for doing it?
Sort of.
Do you think you'd do it again?
I think I would.
How long have you been in Vietnam now?
11 months.
11 months, and you only have a couple left before you go home.
Right. I rotate in April.
Is this your first tour over here?
Yes, it is.
How long have you been in Marine Corps, Sergeant White Knight?
It'll be 6 years in April.
Sergeant White Knight, in the two actions on the 21st and 23rd, were you wounded or hurt in any way?
No, I wasn't. I ran around in my bare feet, though, because I have bad feet and legs.
You mean, what do you mean? You cut your, when you were removing the duds and carrying the gas mask?
Right, I was in my bare feet. I got minor scratches and burns on the bottom of my feet, but that's all.
Thank you very much, Sergeant White Knight. This interview. This interview is with Corporal Walter Whitesides, W-A-L-T-E-R, W-H-I-T-E-S-I-D-E-S, of Route 1, Lanesville, Indiana, L-A-N-E-S-V-I-L-L-E, Indiana, son of Mr. Douglas Whitesides from that same address. Corporal Whitesides is with the 3rd Battalion, 26 Marines. He's attached to them. Are you with them or attached to them? Attached to them.
I'm with
them. And he's a... the guy that calls in air, that is for medevacs and air support, I guess, airstrikes, that type of thing, with the unit. And he served with, what unit is on 881?
India Company 326.
Served with India 326 on 881 from the 26th of December through the 11th of January, and from the 19th of January through the 8th of February. He's been off about a week now. Corporal Whitesides... Start of interview. Corporal Whitesides, you were on Hill 881 from the 26th of December through the 11th of January. Did anything happen then?
Not too much. Some recon teams were getting shot up, and we'd go out and next day in the area where they were and see if we could find anything. Never did find anything. Until the 19th, we walked up to 881 North. I wasn't there then.
You, what did you do? Did you come off on the 11th for some reason?
That's affirmative. I came down, I picked up Naval Commendation Medal.
Okay, and then you went back on the 19th of January?
Yes, sir. I went up there with the Battalion Reserve to help out India, the squad that was sort of stuck out there.
What do you mean? What were they doing?
Well, the squad walked into a 50 caliber and about 30 or 40 NVA and went up there to sort of augment their forces.
They were trying to get over to 881 North?
That's affirmative. Before, I've been up on 81 North a couple times, and it was no big sweat. It's only about 1,000 meters, but evidently there was some activity in the area then.
It's now held by the NVA.
That's affirmative. They're pretty well dug in up there. They got 250 calibers I know of on the top and three rocket sites within immediate area that are hitting case on all the time.
Okay, Walt, would you go back to when you went up there to help them out? The squad had been hit. And what happened to get that squad back, and then the attack that was later made on 881 South?
They got the squad back the next day, that night, and the next day the whole company went out to go up to 881 North, and they ran into estimates of about 200 NVA. They called in air, and another 14 did this, called in air, and they estimated it's got 80 or 90 NVA with napalm, and they shot down a 46, and there's quite a bit of activity in the area. That night, the battalion command group, the colonel, and Major Caulfield and FSCC were all stuck up there because of the bad weather. And that night, they hit 861 with ground troops, first time been hit.
Did they probe 881 that night also, or did they do it within the next two or three days?
Well, for a long time, we're up there. LPs were reporting movement at night, and... occasionally we get two or three NVA, but they never made a mass attack on 881 South like they did on 61.
What did 881 do to support 861 when they got hit?
We fired 105 ammo and 81s mostly towards 61. We burned up all the both tubes of 81s we had up there. We fired about 1,400 rounds, I believe, of 81 ammo.
How about, when did you come off of 881 this time?
February 8th, came down with a couple of medevacs.
Well, what's it look like up there, Walt? What's the situation with the troops? How are you dug in, and how are you living up there?
Before all this started, we had bunkers and just normal living like most outposts. But since this started, they've improved the trench lines. Everything's dug in about 6 feet deep now. You don't leave the trench lines in the daytime. The old LZ looks like a crater of the moon. It's got about 60, 70 holes in it now.
That would be your old landing zone?
Yes, sir, that's right. And the biggest problem up there has been with resupply and helicopters, because every time a helicopter comes in the area, you do get two or three rounds incoming. And occasionally when they hit caisson, we take as much as 30 or 40 rounds at one time.
What do you mean when they hit caisson?
A lot of times they'll be hitting caisson with rockets, and they'll start hitting us first. If we take more than five rounds at one time, we figure caisson's going to get hit, and just keep our heads down so they won't look for flashes, etc. The night they overran Long Bay, we took about 20 rounds, about half an hour before they hit Long Bay. And that sort of kept our heads down temporarily while they moved into position at Long Bay.
Have they been able to spot any of the positions up there that the NVA have been firing onto caisson from?
That's affirmative. On 881 North, there's three big rocket positions they use over and over. And to the southwest, in the big bowl around 918, you see four or five. And we worked the area over with air. One day we worked it over hunting for our mortar tube, and it was bothering us up there. And he uncovered about 300 meters of trench line, et cetera. So they worked about 8 or 10 fights in there, but they still keep using it.
What's it look like to you now on 881?
Well, the situation is much better than it was the first couple of days that we got hit up there. The first day we got hit up there, no one expected it, and no one was dug in. And I think we took more casualties the first day than we've taken in any other day since. Now everyone just stays in the trench line and keeps down and just sort of laughs with it.
Have you been getting any sniper fire? Are they close enough to hit you with small arms?
Snipers is sort of a big joke up there compared to the 120. A couple of people in Mike Company on the other hill, 881, is divided into two hills, have been hit with a sniper. In fact, commanding officer Captain Galise had a round through his leg. But no one's particularly worried about the sniper. Occasionally they run 50 caliber across when they bring helicopters in. They've hit a couple helicopters and a couple co-pilots. But so far, no one has been killed by sniper fire on 881.
Well, what's the situation with the troops who are up there now? What's the morale?
When I left, everyone is naturally anxious to get off, but they were in pretty good spirits. Example of that, we used the classic Maggie's drawers when they'd miss with a mortar round.
What do you mean by that?
And on the range, back in boot camp, when you missed a target, they have a red flag and it shows that you missed. They wave it, and we do the same thing to the gooks. They shoot a mortar round in, and it goes over the hill and lands down the gully, consequently killing more NVA. Everyone gets up and cheers and waves their red flag.
So you give them what they call the Maggie's drawers.
That's affirmative. Anything, stuff like that, which doesn't really mean much and sort of silly, does a lot to keep morale up there.
Will you be going back up, Walter?
Not for the next 4 or 5 days. I'll probably go back up in about sometime in the next week.
How do you feel about going back up?
I'm not too anxious to go back up, but if I have to go, I have to go.
How long have you been in the Marine Corps now?
19 months.
How old are you?
19.
How long have you been here in Vietnam, and specifically here at Caisson?
This is my second time at Caisson. I came to Caisson in July. I was here from the end of July to about the first week of September when he went to Con Tien. And then we came back to Caisson in mid-December, and been here ever since.
Thank you very much, Corporal Walter Whitesides.
This interview is with Lieutenant Colonel Harry L. Alterman, A-L-D-E-R-M-A-N. He's the commanding officer of 3rd Battalion, 26th Marines, 3rd Marine Division, OPCON to 3rd Marine Division at Caisson. His family is from 961 K-A-H-I-L-I, K-A-I-L-U-A, Hawaii. That's three words, K-A-H-I-L-I, And that's one word, K-A-I-L-U-A, Kailua, 961. Interview with Lieutenant Colonel Harry L. Alterman. Colonel Alterman's battalion, portions of his battalion, has the responsibility for hills 881 South, 861, and 861 Alpha. And this interview is primarily concerned with those hills and the defense of them.
Colonel Alterman, your battalion has the hills around Quezon, 861 and 881. What's been the situation at 881 South and 861 since the activity has begun here at Quezon?
Our main job since the initial attacks has been to improve our positions and to make sure that we maintain those hills and hold on to them. We are convinced that we can do it, particularly since we have really gone all out and laid mines, wire, stocked up a lot of ammo, stocked up a lot of water rations so that in case of a siege, they can hold out.
Sir, have the hills had any major probes if they had been attacked, either 861 or 881 South?
You could say they've both been attacked. There are really three hills now. There's 861 Alpha, which has been developed to support 861. 881 has been under constant bombardment by heavy mortars and occasional artillery. 861 proper was attacked very heavily the first night, beat off the attack, and did very well. When it was reinforced by establishing 861 Alpha, 861 Alpha also came under attack a couple of nights later. Although they were not as well prepared as, the positions were not as well prepared as 861 Alpha, they certainly did very well for themselves up there. We gave them a lot of supporting arms, a lot of artillery, heavy stuff from Camp Carroll and so on and so forth. I think that since then I could say that it would take a lot more than just a probe that they had, company battalion size that they've had before to really make a dent in any of the three hills now.
Sir, do you think the two hills beating off the attacks or probes that they did have affected the timetable of the attack on Quezon?
I think there's no question about it. It was pretty obvious that 861 was, and probably still is, the key to their whole plan. I think they had intended, instead of stretching this out into a long siege as was Dien Bien Phu, was to snap up 861, which overlooks the combat base and its approaches, isolate 881, and then move on to the base. They couldn't take 861, and they've tried it twice now. I imagine they'll try it again, and I'm sure that this has slowed them down. In the meantime, they lost some of their advantage in the weather, and they will have to move in a lot larger force now to try to do the job that they couldn't do with the forces they had at hand on the 20th.
Colonel, your battalion has part of the perimeter defense here at Quezon. Have you had any probes or anything try to come through the wire here?
Yes, we've had recon patrols. We've spotted and driven off. We've found our wires cut. Apparently, there was some probing that we didn't catch. We haven't had anything in any force, probably because of the good location we have and the good fields of fire and good fields of observation that we have even at night.
Sir, have you been sending out any patrols from here?
Yes, we have. We sent two patrols out today. They found nothing, however.
No contact?
No, we've had no contact. Our area is probably more open, more limited than some of the other units, and that's probably why we haven't had the contact. We can keep our area under pretty good surveillance.
Thank you very much, Colonel Alterman.